Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Feed the Spirit as we pick up in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
He identified with us in order that he might redeem us. And so they were amazed. They said, hey, how is it? He's eating with publicans and sinners. And Jesus heard it, and he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and said unto him, why is it that the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Now, fasting is a spiritual rite in which there is that denial of the flesh. It is a self-abnegation type of a thing, or a self-mortification. It's a part of denying self. And while Jesus was with his disciples, he did not command them to fast as a spiritual rite. He said the days will come. As long as the bridegroom is here, we're going to rejoice. We're going to party. But then I'll be going, and in those days they'll fast. In the Old Testament, we read of Daniel fasting, afflicting himself as he was waiting upon God and praying. Daniel's fast comprised of not drinking wine, not eating meat or pastries. So there are many things that you can deny yourself. Swenson's for a while. There are different types of fast that you can engage in. Total abstinence, drinking just water, keeping the liquid level of your body up, or just denying certain things for a period of time as you deny the flesh, to spend time in prayer, and to wait upon God. Prayer and the Word feed the Spirit, just as food feeds the body. We are extremely faithful in feeding the body. We see that he has meals three times a day. But so often, we're careless about feeding the Spirit. Now, the flesh is warring against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And so often the flesh is overcoming the Spirit. Well, that's quite obvious. Why? Because I am so faithful in feeding the flesh and so negligent in feeding the Spirit. So fasting and prayer are a reversal of the normal. I begin to neglect the feeding the flesh, and I take the time to feed the Spirit. And as a result, as my spirit is warring against my flesh and the flesh against the spirit, my spirit begins to become strong and overcome, and I become victorious. And so that's really where fasting comes in and the purpose of fasting. Now, they're talking about the disciples of the Pharisees and so forth, the old religious system with its fast days and all of the rites and so forth. And Jesus said, no man also sews a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up takes away from the old, and the tear is made worse. Now, Jesus was talking in the days before they had samphirized clothes. So you have a robe that you've been wearing for a long time. It's been through many washings. all of the shrinking is out of it because it's been through so many washings. And you rip that old robe. Now, if you would take a new piece of cloth to sew up the hole that you have in your robe, the first time you washed it, that new cloth that you put in would shrink because the old robe is just, you know, already had the shrinkage out of it. The new cloth shrinking would just rip the thing all the more. So you don't use new cloth to patch an old garment. You just make the tear worse. Neither do you put new wine in the old skins, because the old skins will just burst and the wine will spill out. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that the religious systems get so set that to revive or to restore them is next to impossible. That when God desires to do a new work, he usually moves outside of the boundaries of the established religious systems because they can't handle the new wine. They can't handle that new work of God. And how true this is, and how we have seen the truth of this in personal observation. How God, when he desires to move with a new work of his Spirit in the hearts of people, unfortunately has to move out beyond the boundaries of the organized religious systems and has to start up something new to contain that new work of his Spirit, that fresh work of God that he is seeking to do in the world. So God wanted to save a bunch of hippies. And the old systems couldn't handle those long-haired, barefooted kids. So God raises up a new work in order that he might reach those that he's desiring to reach. Now, this is where my prayer is that God keep us flexible. I don't want to get in a rut, a pattern, a routine, that we would say, well, this is the way, you know, we've done it. This is the way Chuck did it, and this kind of stuff. I really don't want that. I want to ever stay flexible and free to move as God's Spirit moves. Blessed are the flexible. They shall not be broken. I mean, you get rigid. God wants to move. No, that's not the way we do it, you know. Well, God is going to move. And you'll get snapped. But if you just learn to be flexible, God wants to move, all right, you know, move with it. Be flexible. The interesting thing about God is his refusal to be patterned. Well, God did it this way. Well, maybe he did the last time, but he wants to do it a different way this time. God does not confine himself to patterns, and man always makes the mistake when he tries to pattern God, tries to, you know, make the groove for God to flow in. God is always overflowing our banks and always coming up with some new way of working in the lives of people. And so God keep us open and flexible and ready to move as the Spirit of God moves in different ways. Now, it came to pass that he went through the cornfields, and that would be wheat fields. They called the little kernel the corn of the wheat. On the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they were going through to pick the ears of corn. Now, during the months of May, early June and all, as the wheat is getting ripe, you take and pick off that little top part, the corn of the wheat, and you take and rub it in your hands, and you knock the chaff off of it, the little bran off of it, and then you blow it, and you rub it, and blow it, and you get just a handful of wheat, and then you eat it. The kernel is soft enough that you can chew it with your teeth, and as you chew it for a while, it makes sort of a gum, actually, and you can chew it all day if you want. When we were kids, we used to pick the wheat out of the chicken feed, and we didn't have enough money for gum, so we'd go out and get the chicken feed and pick out all the wheat, and we'd chew it until we got our gum, and then we'd go chewing the wheat gum all day long. But it's, of course, extremely helpful. It was something the disciples going through the wheat field, and they just grabbed some of these little corn of the wheat and began to rub it in their hands and eat it. And the Pharisees said unto him, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" And he said unto them, "Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungry, he and those that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest Abiathar, and he did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and he gave also to those which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Human need takes precedence over the law. They're hungry. There's a human need. Now, according to the law, when you went through a man's cornfield, you could pick the corn and eat it, but you couldn't carry any out. You weren't to take a sickle and cut it down and carry out the sheaves of corn. If you were going through an orchard, you could pick the fruit and eat it, but you couldn't carry any fruit out. Human need, hunger, God made provisions for. If you're hungry, go and pick an orange. You can't do that here. Now, I'm not telling you to do that here because sun-kissed growers will slap you with a $500 fine. But God had made provision for hungry people to go in and to take what they needed to satisfy their hunger. You couldn't take any out, set up a little stand and sell the produce at the edge of the field. But you could eat to your own need and satisfaction. And so the disciples were doing that. They were walking through someone's wheat field, and they just began to pluck the little kernels and eat them. And it was the Sabbath day. Now, to the Pharisees and the scribes, that constituted a violation of the Sabbath day law. You're not to do any work. But just, Jesus said they're hungry. They're only taking care of their needs, their hungers. David, whom you admire, don't you remember how he, during the time when Abiathar was the high priest, went in and he and his men were hungry? They were fleeing from Saul. And they went in and David said, "Do you have anything?" He said, "No, I don't have anything but the showbread here." David said, "I'll take that." And he took the showbread and he fed his men and all. And that was against the law. Only the priest, according to the law, were to eat that showbread. But again, human need, hunger, is a higher law. And then he announced himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. Making that statement that we need to remember, Sabbath was made for man. It's for man's benefit. Really, we would all be wise to observe the Sabbath, to give our bodies a chance to recuperate. If you spent every Saturday in bed, you'd be a healthier person. Just kick back, spend the day in bed, do nothing. But we are so geared up that we press and push all the time. But God made it for you. Take advantage of it. Kick back. He entered again into the synagogue. This was on the Sabbath day. And there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man which had a withered hand, "Stand forth." And he said unto them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, "Stretch forth your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Sabbath day, Jesus came to the synagogue. There was a man there with a withered hand, and so immediately it created a stir as the Pharisees watched him to see if he would violate their traditional interpretation of the Sabbath day law, for according to the interpretation, their interpretation of the law, it was unlawful to heal a person on the Sabbath day. You could save a person's life, do what was necessary to save the life, but do nothing towards healing. Apply a tourniquet, stop the flow of blood to save his life, but don't put a Band-Aid on or don't wrap it up, don't wash it, don't put any salve on, because that's ministering towards his healing, and you can't do that till the sun goes down. You can't do that until the Sabbath day is over. Nothing to heal a person on the Sabbath day, only to save the life. Now, they understood Jesus even better than his own disciples, because they knew that Jesus would immediately be interested in the man with a withered hand. They knew that Jesus could never face any crippling area in a person's life without desiring to minister to that person and to help them. They knew instinctively that Jesus always sought to heal the blight of man when he came face to face with it. And they knew that he would be interested in the man in the synagogue with the greatest need. And so they watched him to see if he would heal him, because it was the Sabbath day. So many times we feel that Jesus isn't interested in us because our needs are too great. Jesus only likes to chum with the beautiful people, with the successful, with the prosperous. But the person that Jesus is always most interested in is the person who has the greatest need. And so it was when he came in the synagogue. They were correct. In their assessment of Jesus, they were absolutely correct. He was immediately interested in that man in the synagogue who had the greatest need. He was immediately interested in that man with a withered hand. And Jesus said to him, "Stand up." The man stood up. And Jesus then asked them two questions. Is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath day? Naturally, it's lawful to do good. They could not answer him. He had them trapped. They could not say it's lawful to do evil, and yet it would be evil not to help this man if you had the capacity to do so. Is it lawful to heal or to kill? Well, it's never lawful to kill a person. And so, again, they're trapped. They can't answer, and they don't answer. And he looks upon them with anger because of the hardness of their hearts, because of their religious traditions would keep this man from experiencing the power of God in his life. They would keep him from the work that God wanted to do in setting him free, because it was not according to their religious traditions or their theological positions. There are people today who would hold back the work of God in needy lives because it doesn't fit with their theological position. They would hold back God's power, God's healing power, because it doesn't fit with their theological position that all miracles ceased with the apostles. And so they would hold back the work of God in needy lives just because it doesn't fit with their theology. And this upset Jesus, that they, by their rigid traditions, would actually hold back the work of God for this needy man. Looked upon them with anger, an emotion you seldom relate with Jesus, and yet we find him angry when they were selling the doves and all in the temple precincts and exchanging money and all. And he was angry, made a scourge, and drove them out. Angry always with the blind religious fervencies of man, really. How it would upset him that man could be blinded by his religion. when God is seeking to establish a vital, life-changing relationship, people try and formalize it into a religious system. Jesus said to him, "Stretch forth your hand." It's impossible. The man knew it was impossible. Jesus knew it was impossible when he told him to do it. And because it was impossible, the man can do one of two things. He can either argue with Jesus and tell him that he can't, and tell him why he can't, and tell him how many times he's tried and failed, and tell him of all of his past failures. Rehearse his life story of failure. Or he can obey Jesus and stretch forth his hand. He has a choice. He chose to stretch forth his hand, and immediately as he did, it was made whole just like the other. For a basic law, the moment you choose to will to obey the command of Christ, in that very moment, he will give you everything necessary for you to obey.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 2 through 3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and give you a beautiful week. May His hand be upon your life, and may the flame of love really begin to burn in your heart towards God. And that love and commitment is restored, and it's just a glorious week of thinking of Him, worshiping Him, serving Him, loving Him. May God be pleased with you by your commitment and devotion to Him in Jesus.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Sometimes it's difficult to celebrate the holidays like Christmas or New Year's Eve because of a recent death in the family or a sudden tragedy that's happened. And it's in times like this that we want to be used by God to bring encouragement, hope, and most of all, love to our family and friends who are going through a hardship. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book by Chuck Smith called When the Storm Hits. I'm amazed when I read this book that it's able to encourage and strengthen a person and persuade them to look to Jesus and not at their problem. It encourages us to be patient, not to lose hope, and when the storm hits, to get anchored on Jesus, the rock, and don't let go. To order a copy of Chuck Smith's book, When the Storm Hits, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673, or you can visit us online to read a preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.